seated, please. Care to mark your books at number 322. That will be our invitation song, number 322.
My Bible is open to James chapter 1. I invite you to open up your Bibles there as well. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15 is really the text of our lesson here tonight. And I encourage you to open up your Bibles there. As you're settling back in and putting that song as an invitation and marking that, let me welcome all those who are out with us tonight. We've got a very good number out with us on a Sunday night. Thank you very much for being here this evening. It says a lot about you and your love for the Lord. I want to commend you for your faithful attendance. Our attendance has been creeping up on Sunday night, and appreciate that very, very much. Appreciate the men who came to our leadership class tonight. Had a good number there, and I appreciate so much all the preparation that was put in to that by the men. So I commend all those who were present for that as well. And again, just as the teacher, to thank you for your participation and being prepared for that class. We've come to the part of our worship service here this evening that we're going to continue to worship God by preaching and teaching His Word. Peter said, if any man speak, let him speak the utterances of God. And then he closes that verse by saying that God in all things may be glorified. We're going to glorify God by preaching and teaching His Word. I'm going to utilize the PowerPoint, my left, your right. I'm going to give you book, chapter, and verse for everything I've got to say here tonight. So you might know that these aren't my opinions or the teachings of quote-unquote the Church of Christ, but as they are in truth, the mind of Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16, but we have the mind of Christ. Christ has given us His will. Matter of fact, He said one day in John 12 and 48, these words will judge us. So I ask each and every one of you to very soberly enter into this act of worship here at this time by understanding the fact that it is for all of eternity that we listen to these things and make application. My subject matter tonight is not particularly encouraging. It is not something that you hear a lot of in society today. Sin. When was the last time you heard the word sin outside the church? Or outside a Bible study? In our society today, we have whitewashed sin out of our society. What God calls drunkenness, we call a disease. What one may call an alternative lifestyle, the Lord calls an abomination. What the Lord may call murder, we call a choice. And lists could go on and on. How we have whitewashed sin and its consequences totally out of our life. I read a story one time of a Jewish rabbi who was bragging, by the way, in this newspaper article, that the children that go to their parochial school or his parochial school could go kindergarten through 12th grade and never hear the word sin. Now, I got to believe the devil's quite happy about that. But I want you to understand that God has a lot to say about the idea of sin. And so it would do all of us very well to stand up and take notice what God has to say about this subject here tonight, and how it is that's applicable to my life. The politically correct society that we've become in is called many things to our mind, and we want to talk about this idea of sin this evening. The first thing that I want you to understand is what sin is not. The first thing I want you to understand that sin is not something that we are born in. There's a lot of misconception about that, especially in a religious world today, that sin is just something that you and I have literally been born in. The wise man said in Ecclesiastes 7 verse 29, this one thing I have found, and that is that God has made man upright, but he has sought out many devices. God made man upright, but he looks for ways to sin. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4, God said, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father and the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sins, it shall die. Not the soul that is born in sin, but the soul that sins, it shall die. Again, in chapter 18 and verse 20 of that same book, of the book of Ezekiel, there God through that prophet said, all souls are mine. The soul that sins, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father. The Father shall not bear the iniquity of the Son, but the righteousness shall be upon the righteous, and the wickedness shall be upon the wicked. I do not inherit my Father's sin. In James 1 and verse 14, I read how sin comes about. Every one of us is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when that lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. Not when a child is conceived, it brings forth sin. When my lust has been enticed, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is complete, when it is accomplished, I appreciate very much that version that Elbert read, it brings forth sin. Sin is not something that we are born in. But also, sin is not something that the devil makes me do. Many of you can remember Flip Wilson. I don't remember him. I just heard Alan talk about him once. But one of his big johns and lines was always that the devil made me do it. And we all remember that. And I want you to understand that when it comes to sin, sin is not something the devil makes me do. Everyone is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. It is my desires that I'm selfishly seeking to fulfill that brings about sin. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, there's no temptation which is overtaking you except that which is common to man. But God is faithful not to allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but with every temptation provides you a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You can't read those verses without understanding the fact that the devil cannot make you do anything. That there is no temptation that you cannot bear. God will see to it. The devil does not make us do it. And I also want you to see that God doesn't make me do it either. There's a lot of people say, well, God made me this way. No, God did not make you a sinner. God does not traffic in the immoral. James said in James 1 and verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does he tempt any man. Sin is not something that God makes me do. And so as I begin this lesson, and catalog it all here for you this evening, what the Bible has to say about sin, it is not something I'm born in, it is not something the devil makes me do, and it's not something that God makes me do. Now, what in the world is it? Well, that's a good question. What is and how can one sin? Well, John gives us a real good definition in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4 when he said, whosoever transgresses the law sins, for sin is a transgression of law. In this context, the law of God. When I transgress what God has said, I then sin. Someone says, well, how can I do that? Well, the first thing you can do is you can sin by acts of what we call commission. That is, you can do things on this side of eternity that will cause you to transgress God's law. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 32, Paul there says, and knowing the judgment of God, that those which commit such things are worthy of death. Sin can be a commission. It is something that I do that I ought not to do. That's the end of Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, of which things I told you before, and I'm going to repeat them again, that those which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There are lifestyle choices that you can make. There are acts of commission of things that you can do that will cause you to sin against God. God says, don't do this, or these are the bounds in which you can do this, and you go beyond those bounds by doing something other than that, you sin. You're not born in it. God's not making you do it. The devil didn't make you do it. You chose to do it. You chose to do something that you ought not to do. But also, you can sin by not doing something. You can sin through acts of omission. In James 4 and verse 17, James says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. There are things that God has told us and commanded us to do, that if you don't do it, that's sin. Act of what we call omission. In 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9, Paul there describes the fiery scene of Jesus Christ coming again with his holy angels, taking vengeance upon them that know not God. Now listen. And obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. They did not do the commandments of God. And because of that, they sin. So I can sin by the things that I do that God tells me not to do, or outside the bounds on which he tells me that I can do it, or by the acts of omission. I should be doing this in my life, but I am not. But also, I can sin by my words. I may not do anything, but I can say things that are sin. In Matthew 12 and verse 38-37, Jesus said, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. How it is that we utilize our tongue. There are things that you and I can say that are sin, contrary to the word of God. Lie not one to another, seeing you put off the old man his deeds. When I lie, utilizing my tongue, I'm not physically done something. I've not refrained from doing something. I have spoken something. I have lied. And then I have sinned. In Ephesians 4, verse 29, Paul there said, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth except that which is good to edify." Now you think about that. Were my words edifying to my husband? Were my words edifying to my wife? Were my words edifying to the person who heard that? If not, that's sin. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth except that which is good for edification. My words, my tongue, can cause me to sin. But not just that. My thoughts. What is it you dwell on? In the book of Proverbs, in chapter 15 and verse 26, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to God. What is it that you dwell on? What is it that you think about? And before you think that seems to be way too harsh, understand what Jesus said. In Matthew chapter 15, beginning verse 19, he says, "For out of the heart," that is, for out of your mind, that is your thoughts. "For out of your thoughts proceeds murder, adultery, fornication, thefts, lies, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man. You show me a sin that you commit or a sin that you do not do, or I should say a commandment that you do not do, I want you to appreciate you have first thought about it. You have first contemplated those things. Guard your thoughts with all diligence, for out of it are the ways of your life." Your thoughts can cause you to sin against God. So sin is the transgression of God. I can do that through acts of commission, acts of omission, by my words, and yea, even by my thoughts. Well, someone says, "Well, what's the point?" Okay, that's great. What are the consequences of sin? You tell me we whitewash in, you tell me what sin is and how it is that we can sin, what's it matter? Well, I want you to appreciate, first of all, that sin defiles us. It defiles us before our Creator. David said in Psalm 51 and verse 2, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities. Cleanse me from my sin." Why? Because I have defiled myself in the sight of God through my sin. In Isaiah 1 and verse 18, there God through Isaiah said, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sin be as scarlet, I'll make him white as snow. Though your sin be red as crimson, I'll make him white as wool." And a point there that we wish to make is that sin stains. Sin defiles an individual. But also, I want you to understand this, sin angers God. It is no small thing in the sight of God. In Psalm 7, verse 11, David there said, "God is angry with the wicked all day long. God is not well pleased, and it angers him when he sees us transgressing his law as his creatures before the created." What else? Well, we pay the price. No matter any time we transgress God's law, I want you to appreciate, we're going to pay a price. One of my memory verses I had to learn when I was a young man was Deuteronomy 6 and verse 24, where there, God there through Moses said, "These laws and statutes that are given to you this day are for your good always. And when I don't do those things or restrain myself from doing things that God has told me either not to do or within the bounds, I'm harming myself. And I will pay the price." Paul said it this way in Galatians 6 verse 7. "Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. Whosoever shall sow to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall reap everlasting life." We will receive what it is that we've done. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 25 and verse 14, "And I will recompense them according to their deeds." I will pay the price. The wise man in Proverbs 13 and 15 said, "The way of the sinner is hard. Hardest life you'll ever live is a life in sin." Why does it matter? What's the consequences? We pay a price. And part of that price is a separation from God. A man said in John 9 and verse 31, "For we know that God heareth not sinners' prayers." That's based upon a biblical statement or a biblical principle. In Isaiah 59 verse 1, "God's hand's not so short that he cannot save, or his ears so dull that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sin have caused him to hide his face from you so that he will not hear you." Sin has dire consequences. And one of them is that they separate you from God and all his blessings in your life. But also, the wrath of God is coming. We studied this on In some of our adult classes recently, as we studied the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians, as he said in Colossians 3 and verse 5, because of these things comes the wrath of God. Because of sin, God is coming again and he's bringing wrath. And again, in Ephesians 5 and verse 6, don't let anyone deceive you with empty words. Because of such things comes the wrath of God. And so you can understand why it is so distressing that the concept of sin has been whitewashed out of our society. Because Jesus Christ is coming again. And he's coming with wrath upon those that sin. Ultimately, as we read, sin brings death. The soul that sins, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6 and verse 23. Right from the very beginning of time, do not touch the tree of knowledge of good and evil, lest you die. Genesis 3 verse 3. The wages, the consequences of sin is death. Literally, the idea of death is separation again. We see the consequences of sinning against our Creator almost on a daily basis. I mean, when was the last time you drove by a cemetery? When was the last time you saw a funeral procession? Constant reminders of the consequence of sin. Sin entered the world. By man came sin and death by sin. For the wages of sin is death. The consequences of sin are a separation from God. But what I want you to understand, and here's the foundation of the good news, is that Jesus Christ paid the price for those sins. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and verse 23. That's one thing we all have in common. There's a lot of things we don't have in common, but one of the things that we do have in common is that we've all sinned. We've all done that. We've either committed acts of commission or acts of omission, or we have said things we ought not, or we have thought things we ought not, and therefore we have separated ourselves from God. We have a debt that we cannot pay. Death. Christ died. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 15, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Those of us who have sinned, that's all of us by the way, needed a Savior. In Ephesians 1 and verse 7, unto him he gave redemption in his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. We can be forgiven of our sins because Christ died for our sins. In Matthew 26 and verse 28, as he's establishing the Lord's Supper, he said, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, shed for many for the remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Hebrews 9 and verse 22. Unto him who loved us and washed our sins away in his own blood. It took the blood of a sinless person to pay the debt of sin. It wasn't good enough just for a good man to die, because that good man has sinned, you see. It took the sinless Savior to become a human sacrifice for our sin. In Colossians in chapter 1 and verse 20, he says, and having made peace by the blood of his cross, in the body of his flesh, that through his own death, he could present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. The terrible consequences of sin have been paid by Jesus Christ. For who? For all men. The debt's been paid for you and everyone that's not here, by the way. 1 John 2 and verse 2, he's the propitiation for our sins, but not only for ours, but for the whole world. The debt of sin has been paid. Don't let that make you squirm. The debt of sin has been paid. And because of that, I can preach through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sin. What can I do with my sins? Now that he's paid the price. Now that he's paid the price for my sin, what can I do? Well, I can hide. I can try to hide from God. Like it really doesn't have a bearing upon me. In Isaiah 29 and verse 15, Isaiah said, woe to those who go to great lengths to try to hide their plans from the Lord. I love what Moses wrote in Numbers 32 and verse 23. Be sure your sin will find you out. You can try to hide. But you can't. Your sins have consequences. Jesus paid the debt. But you can't hide from them. I could run from them. You know, Jonah tried to do that. In Jonah chapter 1 verse 3, but Jonah ran from the presence of the Lord. But where are you going to run to hide from God? You can run from this place tonight in your sins. But where are you going to go? How shall we escape? The Hebrew writer asked in Hebrews 2 and verse 3. I'll tell you another option you got. You can die in them. You can die in your sins. People all around the world at this very hour are choosing. Now think about that. They are choosing to die in their sins. John 8 and verse 24, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. That's a choice that you can make. Or you can repent of them. You can turn from them. You can repudiate them and turn to God. The debt's been paid. The invitation is made to you to come out of those sins and to be forgiven of those sins. Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. In Acts 17 and 30, at this time of ignorance, God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Repent of what? Repent of sin. That's been paid. But you must repent. You can't hide from God. You can't run from God. And you don't want to die in your sins. So you can repent of them. The blood of Jesus Christ can wash them away. Someone says, how do I do that? Not by being baptized into Christ. In John 19 and verse 34, Jesus shed his blood on the cross. In his death, Jesus shed his blood. And you and I contact that blood by being obedient to the gospel in baptism. In Romans 6 and verse 3, what? Don't you know that as many of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death? That's where his blood was shed. Therefore, you are buried with him in baptism into death, that like as he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too shall walk in the newness of life. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. The debt's been paid, but you must act. You must repent, and you must be baptized. What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. If you've not done that, you've got to do that tonight. If you've done that, you've got to continue to walk in the light. You're not over. Some once saved always say, you continue to walk in the light as He is in the light, and the blood of His Son cleanses you from all unrighteousness. If you will confess your sin that you've committed, He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Though your sins be red as crimson, I'll make them white as wool. If you obey. Isaiah 1, 18 and 19. What is sin? What is sin is not. Sin is not something I'm born in. It's not something the devil makes me do. It's not something that God makes me do. What is it? It's a transgression of God's law. And I can do something to commit sin. I can omit to do something that causes sin. I can say something that causes me to sin. Or I can think things. Sins against God. The consequences of that are numerous. A separation from God. But I want you to understand this. Christ died for you. He paid the debt for you. And what is it you're going to do? Here this evening. You've listened well tonight. I appreciate that very much. Maybe it's one of those options I gave you here tonight on a very positive note. Maybe you need to be baptized for remission of your sins. Maybe you need to confess your sin. We can pray for you. Whatever the Lord will allow us to do from this good book to help you get back on that straight and narrow path that leads from this low ground to heaven above. We're here, ready, willing, and able to help you at this time and extending the Lord's invitation to you and singing a song to encourage you. So if you're subject to me anyway, come forward now as we stand and we sing.
Free Christ, you're broken.